Common Sense versus Which Side of the Fence? The Vinnie Penn Project.
Well, good morning and thanks for joining us. Going to a special guest right now on the project, David Navin. Am I pronouncing that name correctly, sir?
Yes, good morning, Vinnie. Thanks for the invitation. Much appreciated.
No. It was an interesting email to receive yesterday, especially because I've managed to be myself so dismissive. I don't know if that's the right word, but as far as the earthquakes that have been plaguing Connecticut the past week or so, I don't know. I think we managed to kind of think, wow, where? What was it? A little tremble? Did you see the glass, the half full of water, like kind of shimmy on the counter? Was it really something? But I actually did hear several people this weekend talking about Plainfield. They've been becoming more and more common in Connecticut. And one even mentioned one out in my neck of the woods from about a year ago on the shoreline. Said, no, I remember, you know, everything shook in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, I listened to you scratching your head this morning about Mr. Obama calling up, down, and comparing the same old that they passed down year after year. And you can trust that he's not the only one. That stock and trade for civil and scientific authorities regarding earthquakes, that's what they do with that, too. So I do appreciate having a word with your listeners about this, because I realize that people in Connecticut followed the story about the earthquakes that shook your state. And it's sort of connected, in my view, with the state next door signing the moratorium on fracking, because just a couple of weeks ago, Governor Cuomo's one of the seven reasons he used officially was that fracking causes earthquakes. So a lot of people have sent me emails asking, you know, that same question: should fracking take place in the southern tier? It's near your state, and that sort of thing. So,
so you see a direct correlation.
Well, here's the thing. It's, like many things in this country, you get one kernel of truth and you exaggerate it to the point where it turns ridiculous. Here's the odd part. Earthquake, you know, fracking does cause, there's a connection between fracking and earthquakes, but people are missing something revolutionary within those reports, because earthquake prediction, as you well know, I mean, as anybody with who's graduated high school knows, we've been told for a century that, you know, it's an impossible art. We've been told ad nauseum on the West Coast that, you know, without missing a beat, that earthquake prediction is impossible. But now that fracking can be killed by it, there's no problem bringing that into play. We have the same government functionaries that have been telling us out of one side of their mouth for, you know, that it's impossible in California for a century, now saying that it's possible in New York on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this magical transmutation is pretty bizarre. So
yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, that was the argument against moving to California. You want to deal with that? I mean, that was the era of the movie Earthquake. You don't want to. We're safe and sound over here. We don't care. But we said the same about tornadoes. We said the same about hurricanes, for the most part, here on the Northeast.
Good point. 20 years ago, I've been making that point on the air. By the way, the hurricanes, the tornado watches. 20 years ago, if you had said that they'd be, you know, sounding, because I've moved to Pittsburgh now, and I hear them sometimes go off. 20 years ago, they didn't do that. That was impossible too. And you're right. Trying to figure out where the landfall of a hurricane is going to make on a seacoast, that was impossible. Everything's been impossible.
Yeah.
Those guys have been telling us that everything has been impossible since the 1500s, and they're still at it. I mean, you'd think they would have learned their lesson by now, but it's the same old, the earthquake prediction is impossible gang has had a long run, and it's sort of coming to an end, I would think.
Yeah, and a lot of people want to attribute that to fracking, and let's be honest, without fracking, we wouldn't have Godzilla.
Oh, my God, if people love the idea of going back to $4 a gallon gasoline, go ahead and you know, you were talking about the State of the Union. The numbers on fracking are just stupendous. It's a $300 billion business, part of our GDP, and it pumps, you were talking about 2 million jobs in this country that are connected to fracking, and $100 million of our energy bills reduced for everybody in America thanks to fracking. So, boy, you'd have to be a real lummox to take aim at that. There's something like, I looked at the figures before I got on the air, something like 3,000 trillion 3,000 trillion cubic feet of natural gas beneath the United States. And to just ignore that, wow.
Yeah, I mean, and what is fracking other than drilling 2.0, really? Or is that just too simplistic?
It is not too simplistic, and that is it, with the hammer hitting right on the nail's head.
And last night, I mean, that was part of the State of the Union address as well. We're not reliant anymore when it comes to, you know, we're not in the power struggle anymore when it comes to oil, which isn't even true. But I want to say more focus on, if we could, what is taking place. I was going to say did take place in Connecticut, but it does. How many did we get when all was said and done?
Okay, you've got, I think 11 earthquakes between 1.0 and 3.0. I mean, if this had, 3.0, if it had taken place in California, you wouldn't have even heard about it.
Right.
But to answer your questions, you know, there are, I don't want to get too complicated. Let me make it very simple. There are what you would call a fault there, you know, like the Lake Char fault and the Hartford fault and the Ramapo fault. There are some technical faults in the East Coast, but really these are not, the appropriate term for them would be aborted rifts. They're little cracks because there's no plate boundary that runs beneath Connecticut. You know, the Pacific and North American plate aren't grinding past each other under Long Island or something. But when Pangaea broke up 200 million years ago, it was such a, you know, stunning, you know, you can't have continents pulling apart without little cracks being precipitated within the plate boundaries themselves. So these ancient cracks are still there.
Fissures.
Yeah, little fissures. The Lake Char is the fault is the one that we call rupture. I don't. And it's kind of silly to use those big terms because these are little baby earthquakes. But you know, actually, one of the one of your local seismologists made a good point in Providence. He said that it was really a good thing to have these, and that it goes back to the fracking, because fracking doesn't cause earthquakes. It just, you know, it helps them, moves them along. It might trigger them that are, you know, with the seismic energy that's already there ready to go. And his point was, you know, it's good to have a bunch of little quakes rather than one big one. And on the East Coast, you know, you can have there have been some big earthquakes. Charleston was destroyed totally in 1880.
I was going to say, what year was that again, sir?
That was 1888, 7.3 in Charleston.
Well,
so.
See, and I knew you were going to go there, and again, we're on with David Nabhan, who, the dubious earthquake predictor, right? That's pretty, that sounds like a good television show, David Nabhan, earthquake predictor. But
yeah,
I get
my emails.
I mean, it's a unique position. I mean, you put that hat on, good luck. I mean, you better get it right. That's a bit of Nostradamus right
well,
there.
Well, the Discovery Channel has been in contact with me, so yeah, you're right.
Oh, that's, well, good luck with that, though.
Yeah,
but I mean,
I'm,
you know,
hoping.
I see one of your titles. You have several titles to your credit, and one is predicting the next great quake, and it goes all the way back to 96. But the fact of the matter is, all these earthquakes, and I don't want to be—I don't want to diminish them. An earthquake is obviously a scary thing. And as I said, I had a sister who went to college in California, in Orange County, in the early '80s, and you know the whole family was, well, good luck out there. I mean, that's what California was known for. Fact of the matter is this, David: when was the last time the United States really endured anywhere in the United States a sizable, a, you know, get down into the basement, like buildings falling down, earthquake? Had to be the 70s.
There's one coming up, Vinny.
All right.
There's one coming up, and it's in Southern California. You're right. I'm agreeing with you. The last, you know, the last big one was Northridge, and that was back in 94, and that's 6.6. But
okay. Well, no, fair enough. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good size earthquake. It killed, I think, 70 people, 90 people, something like that.
Wow.
Caused billions of dollars. You know, it was a real earthquake.
Yeah.
But like Japan or some monstrous 80,000 people killed in China in 2008 or 20,000
right.
Killed in Tajikistan in the 40s. You're talking something like that. I'm not sticking my neck out. I'm just the only one who says it. Every seismologist on Earth is waiting for the big one, which is going to strike in Los Angeles, and it's not going to be decades from now. It's going to be years or months from now, because they've been talking about it. It was decades that they've been waiting for it back in the '80s, and now that time has moved on, no, you know, mum's the word, but The people of Connecticut might say, well, that's too bad. That's L.A.'s problem. But and it will be L.A.'s problem until it happens, and then it'll be your problem, too, just like Katrina was. Every American's going to pay for our lack of due diligence on the West Coast, and there's a big event coming up. It's on the near horizon in Los Angeles.
Now, how the certainty? Why the certainty?
Well,